Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Humat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Good to be here. I want to make sure everybody knows I've got Dr. Samara Humat. I got Dr. Jerry Mixon. And really, last Saturday morning, we sat right here in the studio and we did our first hour and come to find out it was not going out over the air.
I know.
It was so frustrating.
I was miffed.
Well, yes. I was miffed.
No
too.
Kidding. Well, it may be, gentlemen, because I wasn't here.
Yes.
That's what it was.
Yeah, that's right. You had a day off and we had in Dr. Nelson, we had in Dr. Michael Gilbert.
But the electrons that flow out to the broadcast tower said, "What? No Samara? We ain't flowing."
That's right.
You know, that's a funny thing to say because usually I have some electric connection because every time I try to use the computer, something goes wrong.
Yeah, well.
And then when I ask somebody to fix it, the minute they come and sit in front of it, it's fixed. It's like magically appears.
It's that healing, soothing stuff that our techie guys have, you know.
Yes.
Well, enough of that. We actually had a spectacular hour. And yes, you can listen to that hour. It really was wonderful.
But he does say so himself.
Well, no, it was featuring Dr. Dan Nelson and talking about stem cell therapy and pain management.
Hey, I was there too.
Yeah, but who are you?
That's right.
Dan was there. Dan Nelson, pro ortho, come on. Anyway, so this one.
Like Joe Biden, who are you? Who am I? Where am I?
Okay. Long and the short of it is, we're here, and we've got some good information to share. And let's start off, before we went live and started this, you were talking about prostate cancer and PSA scores and all that sort of jazz. So why don't you lead off?
Well, you know, that's just kind of doctor stuff.
That's right.
No, you guys, the reason why we have so many listeners is you guys
we talk to doctor stuff. Yeah,
okay. Well, but that kind of excites us, right?
What is it that Albert Einstein says? Which proves you're a good teacher, by the way, in my opinion.
If you can't explain it to a third grader, you don't understand it very well yourself.
That's right.
There you go.
So here we go. Talk to us about prostate cancer and PSA score.
Well, actually, this was one you brought to the table, Samara.
I did.
I am so sorry.
That's okay. Well, it caught my eye, and it was very interesting to me, because several years ago, around 2008, actually, the United States Preventative Task Force stated in their wisdom that there is insufficient evidence of the use of PSA screening in men for prostate cancer.
What is PSA screening?
Prostate-specific antigen for prostate cancer.
Right,
a blood test
that
detects prostate cancer, but it's a non-specific marker because it also tells us it could be inflammation, it could be an infection, or it could be cancer, and we can't differentiate on the basis of that one test. But it raises a red flag, and then it tells us to dig deeper.
Right. It says that something is happening in the prostate to increase the metabolic rate. And one thing that can raise the metabolic rate is a rapidly growing tumor.
That's right.
Another thing can simply be an infection, bacteria or viruses, and that by far is the most common cause.
Right.
And the third one can simply be a big prostate, because a big prostate makes more PSA than a tiny prostate.
Just inflammation in general.
There's a lot of it.
That's right. Yeah, but you know, the thing was that prostate cancer, as you know, Jerry, you and I've talked about many times, is a slow-growing cancer anyway, yes. And the PSA rises slowly. Mm-hmm. And a lot of time, waitful watching is all that is needed.
Yep.
But so around 2008, they first said, well, there's insufficient evidence that it's useful for anything. And then in 2012, they actually came out and said, it's not useful at all. So they were telling doctors and insurance companies particularly to stop paying for it.
Right. And when
was that a good decision?
No, it was crummy.
No.
And, you know, but all of the big insurance carriers stopped paying at a certain age. And for some companies,
70.
Yeah. For most, it was 70. A few would cut it off at 65.
Yeah.
And because they said, well, you know, statistically, if you haven't got prostate cancer by 65 or 70, you are more likely to die of something else than your prostate cancer. So why bother looking?
Right.
And what there really is, of course, that if you're an insurance carrier in Washington State and you've got 1 million men over 65 and you save $50 a year on that test, you just save $50 million.
My goodness.
And so, you know, and $50 million a year is real money after a while.
$50 million a year. You know?
And if you're in a place like, you know, Texas or California, and instead of having 1 million men in that range, you know, you've got 8 or 9 million men in that range and you save $50 a piece year after year, you're saving big, big bucks. So nationally, people just stopped doing the test. You always follow the money in this world. We didn't.
We did not.
We can do it in our lab.
Yes.
It costs us a buck or something to do it, you know, out
really?
Of pocket.
But you know, what we also did, Jerry, we found that more people were wanting us to do it because their primary cares were not. So we actually had an uptick.
Yes, we did. And I'm perfectly happy to do the buck and let my men know whether there's something going on that's raising their metabolic rate. As a consequence of this shift, we have not had a single man that we had a new prostate cancer that was metastatic. Whereas we find prostate cancers because men get prostate cancer. That's just the way it is. But none of our guys had a cancer that had spread at the time we found it.
That's right.
Good.
But nationally,
yeah.
What they are now discovering after these years is
metastatic prostate cancer. So because they were not looking for it early on, now when they find it, it has already spread past the prostate gland into other tissues.
Now it's out into the bones and in the spine and in the other organs.
Is anybody admitting they goofed?
What? I'm sorry.
I wish you could have seen his face.
No.
Oh, I wish you could have seen his face.
Bureaucrats do not accept that they have ever made a mistake. They may recast it. They may spin it. They may change. They say, well, the data now shows that. And what the data shows is, yeah, men are dying when they shouldn't have died. That's what the data really shows. And they should have continued doing the test like we have continued doing the test all of these years.
Right. Not only that, Jerry, it's, you know, the ethical issue, the quality of life for these people, the impact of that cancer spreading out. And, you know, we do have treatments for localized prostate cancer that are very effective and efficient and could have enhanced their life. And now we've missed the opportunity.
Yes. Well, we haven't.
We haven't.
In our guys longevity. All get checked.
Yes. So. Yes, that's right. Yeah, so it caught my eye when I saw that the topic of the study was drop in PSA screening, increase in metastatic prostate cancers. And I thought, what? Because I remember the day we discussed this and we talked about it. It was like yesterday.
That's right, because, you know, we all saw this notice coming out about all the insurance companies no longer going to cover it. And, you know, Group Health and Kaiser Permanente, they're all stopping doing it if you're over X, whatever their age is.
That's right.
And we just all looked at that and said, no, we are not going to do that.
Not only that, I had some men that specifically asked for it to be tested more frequently than before, just because they're not getting it done outside. Now,
even before the change in rules, most doctors checked it once a year at the most.
Right.
Frequently every other year. And we often check it 2 and 3 times a year.
Yeah, we do.
So what about rectal exams? Because I understand those are not being done either.
Yeah, and those we don't do because statistically, you're going to find it on your laboratory testing long before you can feel it with your finger.
Okay.
If you can feel a prostate cancer with your finger,
you're in trouble.
Big.
You're in trouble.
Yeah. So no, I much rather do my PSA. If the PSA raises a question, we'll do a free and fractionated PSA or a 4K. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then if we have any further questions, we'll do an MRI. Mm-hmm. And get a really good look at that prostate.
Mm-hmm. But what you're also saying,
Jerry, we're not going to ignore it just because they've reached a certain age.
Yeah, but what you're saying is that there's more reasons to check your PSA than just in case you have cancer. You need to know if that rise is taking place.
The rising PSA just tells me something is going on.
Something wrong?
Well, something that, like I said, it could be a bacterial infection, it could be a viral infection, it could just be prostatic hypertrophy, it could be just a benign enlarged prostate. but isn't
that still important to know?
Well, to us it is. If your PSA is rising, we want to know why.
That's right.
You know, I mean, one of my aphorisms, my many aphorisms in medicine is, if you don't know exactly what you're treating, the chances of treating it effectively are poor.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You
know?
And so, I like a PSA as a warning sign that something is changing,
mm-hmm.
and we need to find out what.
Right.
And most of the time, it's not going to be a cancer.
That's exactly right,
And
too.
Most of the times, if it is a cancer, 93% of the time, if you're checking it frequently like we do, it's going to be a Gleason 6 or 7,
mm-hmm.
and you can just watch it.
Yes.
And follow it along because over a 15-year period, a Gleason 6 or 7 that you catch early like this, over a 15-year period, only about 6 or 7% of them will start to grow enough to cause a problem.
Interesting. Okay.
So when you catch them early like we do, most of the time, we can sit tight and just check it. But we would move it up. Instead of checking it once a year, we might check it in 3 months and 6 months. You know, and follow it along. Or we may go ahead and get a 4K, which gives us a probability of it being genetically high-risk cancer. Or if we see one, we go have the urologist do a biopsy and send that out for genetic evaluation, and we can get a very good idea of whether or not this is a cancer we need to worry about. But a lot of early prostate cancers are just not genetically coded to grow fast. Let me give you a little story. Okay, and this is a paper that I give all of my new doctors. We call it the Detroit study. In Detroit, back in the 1990s, a very innovative pathologist decided that he was going to do stepped sections, that is, very careful sections through the prostate of every male who died in Detroit. And these were men from 18 from gunshot wounds and suicides and drug overdoses and car accidents and everything else all the way up.
Mm-hmm.
And what they found is at around 18 or 20,
mm-hmm.
if you look at that prostate closely enough,
mm-hmm.
you're going to find about 20% of the men have at least one little nidus of prostate mm-hmm. cancer at 20.
At age 20.
And at 30, it's almost 30%. And at 40, it's 40%. And at 50, it's 50%. And at 60, it's 60%. And at 70, it's 70%. And yet, even though 70% of men our age, if you were to take our prostate out and look at it very carefully through the pathologist's eyes, 7 out of 10 times you would find at least one little focus of prostate cancer. But only about 7 or 8% of us will ever get a significant prostate cancer in our life. That is, the vast majority of the time, even though we might have a little one there, our immune system has suppressed it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not growing. It's there, but it will never, ever kill us.
Right.
The only time it'll ever cause a problem is if we accidentally find it and some enthusiastic doctor decides to abolish all our testosterone and make us depressed
mm-hmm.
and tired and impotent and destroy our lives by taking away the hormones we need. Mm. A lot more damage being done from overtreatment than damage from undertreatment.
I just talked with a friend last night that you know, obviously, I'm not going to mention his name, who developed prostate cancer. And the first two doctors that he went to wanted him to take a drug. I can't remember the name of it. That would basically atrophy his testicles.
Shut down all of his...
Shut down all of his...
all his hormone production.
All his hormone production. He was smart enough to know that he didn't want to do that. And he finally found a doctor that would consider some alternative thinking and what have you. And 4 years later, he is now doing quite well, even though they had predicted it would kill him within a year and a half.
Wow.
So it really is important. Again, we say over and over and over, second opinions are incredibly mm-hmm. important. No matter what part of your body, prostate, brain, lungs, liver, whatever it is.
Yeah, there are two good reasons for a second opinion, and that is if the patient wants it or the doctor wants it. So...
With that in mind, I just have to say this is probably yet another little piece of the pie. I use that illustration a lot. What you just heard these two doctors explain to you is something that you don't get with normal primary care physicians. You just don't get it. But you do get it at Longevity Medical Clinic. It's just one of probably we could make a list of about 50 things that you really, really need to know that you won't know unless you're a patient at Longevity Medical Clinic. It's just the way it is. And maybe this illustration, your prostate guys, you're listening, and some of you women who love your men who have prostates, mm-hmm. you're saying, ding, dang, dong, I am going to do something about this.
And if you don't love your men, don't let him get his PSA.
Yeah, okay. Leave it to him to do that.
Well, you said anyway, if you love your man. Yes. Yes. Okay.
Well, on the we other won't hand. Get into marriage counseling quite yet, even though we've been tempted over the years.
I think
we would have a thriving practice as a sub-practice. Anyway, this is why we do the free health analysis appointment. Maybe this topic, men, women who care about their men, maybe this is the final straw for you, and you're going to say, God, yes, I'm going to make a free health analysis appointment. So why don't you do that? You get the two free tests, a blood test and the special in-body test together. Wow. They'll help you understand what some of your basic health risks are. If you're concerned, you need to do this. It's free. And you get the two free tests. And you still get $100 of free longevity supplements just for coming in for your free appointment. So many reasons. Maybe this was the final straw for you, and you're finally over your skepticism, and you're thinking, this is just, I can't go any longer without making an appointment. So you can do that by going to lmclinic.com, lmclinic.com, and push the schedule now button. The three clinics, by the way, if you're new to the program, we have three clinics, Tacoma, Linwood, Kirkland. You click on, let's say you want an appointment at Kirkland. Click on Kirkland, and the Kirkland schedule with the free health analysis appointments will come on your screen. You just select the appointment you want, time, day, whatever. It's easy to do. LMClinic.com. LMClinic.com. And you can do it. Now, you can also simply go to and call us. If for some reason you don't have computer access, simply call us at 866-86-YOUNG. 866-86-YOUNG. It's a good thing. Smart thing. And as you can tell by the music, we got to go to a break. We're over by about 3 or 4 minutes, but that's okay. At least this week we're on the air and people are listening to us.
We hope.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, I don't have a radio turned on.
That's right. And anyway, folks, don't go far. We will be back with more Leading Edge Medicine.
Leading Edge Medicine.
Leading Edge Medicine. For the first time in history, you can choose how to age.
When considering stem cell therapy, It only makes sense to consider the only doctor with over 30 years of legitimate experience in pain management that deals with stem cell therapy. And that's Dr. Dan Nelson with ProOrtho. Listen to what a satisfied patient had to say.
I'm in my mid-70s, and I had had my left knee replaced. I just hated that whole process, and that motivated me not to do that again. It's time to get information about other alternatives, and I want people to know right from the beginning that I was so impressed by your staff. And so I got all my questions answered and was really guided very carefully, and that meant a lot to me. So I would say you are not taking any risk or losing anything by using this opportunity of contemporary medicine.
And comparing one to the other on a scale of 1 to 10?
I would say the stem cells a 10, the knee replacement to me like a 3. And it's a miracle, really.
You should consider stem cell therapy, but call someone with experience. Dr. Dan Nelson with ProOrtho in Kirkland. 425-823-4000. 425-823-4000.
I've been a longevity patient at the Tacoma Clinic a little over 3 months. So I've lost a bunch of weight, improved libido. I quit drinking wine, which was not easy. I really appreciate what you do.
Oh, oh, well, I'm falling in love again. Oh, oh. Many's the time I've been too tired. Many's the time I've been stung. Many a honey took all of my money, but that was when I was much younger. Made up my mind to be careful. Made up my mind
to beware. Anyway, welcome back to Leading Edge Medicine. And just a little quick reminder, last week we had Dr. Dan Nelson here. We actually had him here for the early part of the show, and then that didn't kind of, and then the last part of the show, it was a little bit off, but we've had a couple of people call in and want to ask his number, and I should have done that when we started the show today. If you're struggling with pain, let's put it this way, any kind of joint pain, muscle aches and pains, that kind of thing, neck, back, shoulder, hip, foot, ankle, you name it, you really need to call this guy and make an appointment, because for 30 years, he is and has been the pain guy. He does stem cell therapy, which is an option. It's one of the tools he has. And please don't keep suffering. Please don't keep suffering. Give Dr. Dan Nelson a call. He's at ProOrtho, and his number is 425-636-4442. That's 425-636-4442. Good idea. Don't keep struggling with pain. Give him a call. All right. It is time for a call. Let's take one now. Let's go to William. I missed William. He's been waiting quite a while. I apologize, William. Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine.
Yeah, hi. Growth hormone, as I understand, if you're in the bottom 25% of growth hormone level, then you have a increased chance of decreased longevity.
That's true.
But there's a group in Ecuador, they're actually dwarfs, who all the cells in the body lack receptors for growth hormone.
That's true.
And as a result, they're dwarfs. But they live a lot longer than the rest of the people around them, and they have fewer chronic diseases, and they remain lucid in the old age. Now, that seems totally paradoxical to me. So I wonder if you can comment.
Well, okay. This is kind of fascinating sort of research. And in the laboratory animals, if we use growth hormone or insulin-like growth factor receptor blockers, we can extend the lifespan of the animals significantly. And so those studies have been done all over and over for the last 15 years or so. So, but it's a balance, okay? What we found is when we look at growth hormone levels in the elderly, the extreme elderly, the people that are centurions, 100 and so, they run lower IGF-1 levels than the rest of us. At the same time, they're not as strong and robust as the rest of us. there's kind of a trade-off, okay? Growth hormone is an anabolic hormone. It speeds up your metabolism, and it causes cells to turn over, and it helps you to grow new tissue. And it is actually an important hormone in neurogenesis. It's important for forming your brain in the first place, but also in maintaining your brain. So you need robust growth hormone levels through your midlife. But it also turns out that when you are using your body heavily and you're growing tissue more robustly, then telomeres shorten faster. Because every time a cell reproduces, the telomeres shear off a few base pairs and you tend to shorten your telomeres. So you get at the end of the expected lifespan perhaps a bit faster, and yet the quality of that life and cognition might be significantly better. And so everything, Dr. Mixon's first rule of medicine, anything strong enough to help is strong enough to hurt. There are upsides and downsides to every decision we make in medicine. So we are not looking to maintain people's growth hormone levels at the top 25 percentile. I've got studies that show that if your levels of IGF-1 or testosterone or dehydroepiandrosterone, any of the three, are in the bottom 25%, you have a shortened lifespan. But if your levels are in the top 25%, you also have a shortened lifespan. And so extremes are dangerous. Don't be in the bottom. Don't be in the top. We're shooting for mid-range. And generally, safety lies in the middle.
Mid-range. Therefore, if you don't measure,
you don't know. Yes.
I have another just really quick question. You talked about coffee being salubrious for the nervous system, you know,
yes.
Parkinson's incidence decreases. You drink a certain amount of coffee every day.
Yeah.
But I heard recently that one cup of coffee a day decreases your insulin levels by like one third. So, you know, that sounds contrary to the.
We're back to Dr. Mixon's first rule. Anything strong enough to help is strong enough to hurt. Life is balance.
You know,
it lowers insulin production. But remember, you're also hyping your metabolism. You're burning calories more efficiently. And the question isn't what is your insulin per se. In fact, I want people to have the lowest insulin production they can.
That's right.
That will keep their sugars down where they belong. Insulin resistance, rising insulin levels shift your metabolism towards fat.
Yeah.
They shift your metabolism towards atherosclerosis.
Yeah.
They increase the rate at which your brain cells undergo apoptosis, and which your brain shrinks.
Lowering insulin sensitivity would have the opposite effect.
That's right. Yes, there's a difference in insulin and insulin sensitivity are two different issues. Okay.
Well, so
decreases
your insulin sensitivity.
And yet, I'm probably drinking 5 cups a day, and I have no insulin resistance at all.
And with that, we got to say goodbye, William. But an
sorry,
excellent,
sir, we're out of time.
Call. That's okay. This is interesting stuff.
Leading Edge Medicine.
Yes, it's a very good thing that Dr. Umat and Dr. Mixon both suggest you see Dr. Michael Gilbert for your vision care. But maybe you should hear from one of Dr. Gilbert's very newest patients, like Bonnie.
What impressed me is that they're extremely professional, high-tech. I was there getting different tests and so forth, and I was extremely impressed because I've been to another ophthalmologist, and to tell you the truth, it was old school. And all of his staff, they treat you well. You just feel like you're at a party. You just feel comfortable. It was just awesome.
Just like at Longevity Medical Clinic at Northwest Vision Institute, Dr. Michael Gilbert is also on the leading edge of medical care. LASIK and cataract surgery, general checkups, and eye care at its very best. Call to schedule your appointment at 425-450-2020 or schedule online at nwvision.com.
Longevity Medical Clinic is happy to announce that Longevity Development, the business and marketing arm of Longevity Medical Clinic, has entered a strategic management relationship with Paramount Pharmacy. As a medical clinic, we cannot tell anyone where they have to go to fill their compounded prescriptions. We can only make suggestions. But for the last 2 years, we have referred our patients to Paramount Pharmacy for three key reasons. Excellent quality control, excellent pricing, and excellent customer service. And now, due to our new management oversight and relationship, Longevity Development and Paramount are actually working together to better serve our patients. A team approach to better healthcare. It truly can make a difference. And now, to celebrate and to convince you that we truly feel we can better serve your health needs while saving you money, Paramount has agreed to make an offer to all new patients willing to give Paramount a try. On your first prescription only, Paramount is offering you a 90-day supply for their 30-day cost. That's right, a 90-day prescription for the 30-day cost. All you need to do is call Paramount at 425-251-1660. It's as simple as that. Call 425-251-1660.
Do my friends notice anything different about me since I've been on Longevity? You bet they do. They ask me all the time, where do you get that energy and zest for life? And I tell them, Longevity.
In every other song that I've heard lately, some fellow gets shot, and his baby and his best friend both die with him. As likely as not.
Get ready to sing it.
Half of the other songs, some cats cry, are ready to die. We've lost most all of our happy people. And
here we
I'm
go.
Wondering why. Let's think about living.
Let's do it.
Let's think about loving. Let's think about the hooping and the humping and the popping and the loving.
I know my husband will call me and say, please don't
let's forget
sing.
About the whining and the crying, the shooting and the dying.
I'm excited because Pat Boone has said I can record a song with him.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm really excited about
this whole house.
Well, I don't know what it is, but I'm going to he's being very nice about it. So someday soon. Love that song. Kind of one of our many theme songs here. Let's talk about living.
Yeah,
let's
absolutely.
Get back into living. And the testimonial that led up to that was one of our patients, obviously, talking about his energy. And energy is one of the top, five reasons
yes.
people come to Longevity.
That's right. However, yes. I would point out some of our patients have enormous energy. Samira had an experience recently.
Okay.
That's
just
wonderful. With an 89-year-old man hitting on
Tell
her.
The story. Tell the story. Tell the story.
Well, I walked out in the waiting room, and my patient was waiting there for a blood draw, so I stopped to say hello, and he took off his mask and kissed my hand. And so I looked at him, and he said, so you want to marry me, huh? Apparently, the week before, he had called the office and wanted to talk to me, and the front desk said, well, what do you want to ask her? What do you want to talk about? What is this appointment for? And he said, well, I want to marry her.
And he's how old?
89
years old. That's right.
And then it was funny because, you know, my other co-workers were with me, and I looked at him and I said, okay, now which one is it going to be? And now he was in a flurry because he said, well, I like you both.
And my question here is, does Sunil have to be worried?
No.
Is there a cause for jealousy here?
No.
By the way, for those who don't know, Sunil is her husband.
Yes.
No, Sunil is locked in. He's fine. But the point is that, you know, it's just the zest for life.
Yes.
The happy attitude. You can't teach anybody that. But if your health is doing well, you can feel like
yes.
that.
And that's basically.
And function.
Yes.
We have fun in our clinic, both as staff and patients.
Yeah, we do. We do. We had a lot of fun because the girls teased me to no end about this forever. And then when I finally did talk to him on the phone before I saw him in the clinic, he and his wife were laughing together. And I said, so what is this I hear? He said, well, I just wanted to talk to you.
Right.
So, it was just great.
Unfortunately, in our COVID lockdown,
yes,
we are seeing increase disease and death.
And this is not funny stuff.
Not from COVID.
Sadly, this is true.
It's from the lockdowns.
It is.
Strokes have increased.
Yes.
Heart attacks have increased.
Mm-hmm.
High blood pressure has increased. Suicides have increased.
Yes.
Drug overdose deaths have increased. Alcohol-related deaths have increased. Yeah. Children are committing suicide.
Yeah.
And that's not COVID. That's the politicians. The bunch of morons who think they can run everybody's life for them. And they're killing people. And here's the spooky thing. If you look at the states that are rigidly hard locked down, and the states that have very minimal restrictions.
Like South Dakota.
Florida. Compared to California.
Yeah.
Not only are the businesses open and the school, children are in school. They're not killing themselves from loneliness and despair. Children are in school. People are running their lives and doing better. And the incidence of COVID hospitalizations and death is lower in Florida. Despite the older population.
Oh, yeah, they got a lot of old folks.
Yes,
lots of
do.
Old folks, yeah. Lots of people that you would think would be high risk.
Yeah.
Florida is a lot better off than California or New York or New Jersey. The hard lockdown states are not only killing their kids and having deaths of despair among their young adults.
And alcoholism, and
and the old folks aren't dying as often as they do in the lockdown states. Yeah. So you got to say, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we keep getting told we have to do this to save lives. Well, then how come the loose states are actually saving more lives than the lockdown states?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and it's a fact that the incidence of all of these issues is rising dramatically, and it's actually pretty scary to me. The alcohol sales are going up, alcohol addiction, opioid addiction, cardiovascular death rates are all rising. People are scared to go in and get care, and they're lonely. They're sitting at home, and it's frightening.
I point out that when we've got people in prisons that are violent, nasty, sociopaths in prison. If they misbehave in prison, the worst thing we can do to them, the worst punishment you can give a human being, even a child molester or murderer, is isolation.
Mm-hmm.
Solitary.
You lock him up and don't let him have contact with other human beings.
Mm-hmm.
That's the worst punishment we have
for
our worst humans.
Right.
And here we are doing it to children.
Yeah.
And people whose only crime is they happen to live in a state controlled by a Democrat.
Last night I had dinner with a relative whose daughter is a school teacher just south of Seattle. I'd like to be very specific, but I'm not going to do this to her. But she literally had been spending days crying. She's a kindergarten teacher. And they have their kids so socially distanced, they have to wear the mask all day long. They're not able to touch another child. The teachers are not. In fact, they have this big barrier between the teacher and these dear little sweetheart, 5-year-olds, I guess, in kindergarten. And they have lines around
the desk.
Yeah.
Where the kids are not allowed to leave their square.
Right.
It is absolutely...
Well, at least they're in school.
Well, actually, they had a big vote just the other night, and they because they were going to shut down because the teachers' union, don't even get me started.
Yeah.
These leaders of the teachers' union are lunatics. But... I guess we can't go too much further.
Why not?
Well, it's just, we're here to talk medicine, it is important to know that there are consequences. The shutdown has caused consequences.
Yes, absolutely.
And that is the medicine that concerns me, though, is, you know, when I don't like to argue politics on this show, Mike, but when it impacts the health of my patients. Yeah. When it damages and kills people, yeah. then we talk about it.
Right. You know, as I've been talking to patients, I think I hear more of an optimism in their voice lately.
Yes.
Many people have received their first vaccine. Some are online for their second vaccine now. Second dose of the vaccine, and I'm hearing them starting to plan.
Yes.
They're booking vacations. They're booking holidays. They're looking forward to the future.
Hope.
Yes. Yeah, we were just in Hawaii again. We were there 2 months ago, and the hotels were about 30%, maybe 25, 30%. And this last week or so, I guess, the hotels were at about 40%, maybe 40%. So people are starting to realize the people at the timeshare units, because the timeshare owners know that if they don't use their points, they're going to lose them.
Yeah.
The timeshare places were full, almost full. So, yeah, people are getting back. And,
Texas is totally open now.
Yeah.
No more mask mandate, no restrictions, you know. You want to dance with your wife? Go dancing.
When we checked in, you asked before when we were off the air, what was it like in Hawaii? The hotel management was ready to scream. We had the most difficult time checking into the hotel because we had to. It was one thing to get through the airports and all of that. Then when you get to the hotel, their mandate was, you have to bring your own computer with you to check in, maybe an iPhone. You have to go online to, like, Safe Travels Hawaii or something like that. Prove all of your documentation.
Show them the QR code.
Yeah, you couldn't bring the QR code.
No, you had to show
them online on your computer. They wouldn't do this for you. Well, so many people come and they didn't bring the ability to do that or their passcodes or anything. You know, they couldn't remember how to get online. They're standing after 12 hours of travel. It was insane. It's sad. So when we can get over this, let's be brave. Let's be smart. Don't run up to people and hug them and kiss them on the lips. No French kissing. Let's just, however,
certainly
get
not with strangers.
Yes. Get back into life a little bit, and it will improve our health. Honestly, you guys, you know this. This is why longevity is doing so well. People are realizing, holy cow, yes, this is serious. Now is the time to get serious about your health.
You know, every morning I get up, I knock out my push-ups, I go have breakfast, and I go out across Kirkland Trail.
Yeah.
And when I hit the trail, it's usually dark. Sun isn't up yet. So there's nobody else out there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you knock out 3 or 4 miles.
Right.
You know, and then come to work.
Yep. And
for goodness sakes, you got to live.
Yeah.
So with that said, I'll tell you what. I think what we're going to do, I think we're going to go to a break a little bit early, so let's do that. And when we come back, it's time to take a call. So don't go far. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. For those of you who, again, are saying, okay, I'm getting back into life, I'm going to work on my immune system, which, by the way, hello, this is what we do at Longevity Medical Clinic. And the free health analysis appointment could be a turning point for you. Help you develop some confidence that you can get out there and start living again. All right? Make your free health analysis appointment by going to lmclinic.com. lmclinic.com. And we'll also give you the $100 of free longevity supplements just for coming in. We'll be back.
If you or someone you love is struggling with memory issues, find out about Longevity Memory. Call Longevity right now to schedule your memory consultation evaluation. 425-654-0258.
That's 425-654-0258.
Did you know coffee is the number 2 commodity in the entire world? Only behind oil is number 1. Pete Talbot here again, and how would you like to stand with me in Guatemala or Brazil to watch a totally revitalized village, literally being pulled out of poverty, all because of the vision and mission of Camino Island Coffee? That's right. Camino Island Coffee helps to revitalize third world villages that are now growing their coffee beans and becoming the owner of the land while doing it. It's so exciting. And we're talking about Arabica beans that are organic and grown at high altitude and in the shade, which are far less acidic. If you consider yourself a coffee connoisseur, you ought to try a full pound of Camino Island Coffee for just 99 cents. That's right, 99 cents. You will taste the difference while changing the lives of an entire village. That's what I call life-changing coffee. A full pound for only 99 cents. Simply go to CaminoIslandCoffee.com/longevity. That's CaminoIslandCoffee.com/longevity or call 866-387-5282. 866-387-5282.
I also want to say how much I appreciate this program. It's just really valuable. I think the people who aren't calling are just sitting there stunned by the information or anything else.
On a day like today, we pass the time away riding.
Pat Boone, and I literally called Pat when I was walking the beach with my wife, and I said, I just wrote my love letter in the sand to my wife, and he laughed, and he laughed. Oh, it was a riot. He's probably had people do that 5,000 times, but I thought I was clever.
I write my wife a lot of love notes.
Yeah.
But not usually in the sand.
Well, it was short. Yeah. It was a short note. I love you. Thinking, you know, call Pat. He has a home on the Big Island.
Okay.
He's not there right now, but we're going to go join him here on our next trip. But that was kind of fun for me.
Yeah.
Let's talk just for a moment. Racial disparities and health. Isn't that an interesting topic?
It is. And it is often miscast.
Yes.
Because there are real differences in incidence of certain problems, such as breast cancer. Okay, black women are twice as likely to have a metastatic breast cancer compared to Caucasian women.
Oh, come on.
And the lowest risk are indeed Asian women.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But the reason is not that doctors are discriminating, nor are hospitals, nor are nurses.
Yeah. It's not racism?
It's, well, I mean, everything can be racism these days.
Well,
I'm learning that math is racist.
That's true.
2 and 2 is not 4, you know, depending on your race. No, they... The difference is that 32% of Caucasian women are obese.
Mm-hmm.
67% of black women are obese.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the obesity.
Yes.
Fat kills people.
Yeah,
not their color. It has nothing to do with
it. It has nothing to do with the skin color or hair texture. It has to do with body mass. It has to do with percentage of fat. And the fatter you are, the higher your risk of getting and dying from a wide variety of cancers.
Mm-hmm.
And for women, breast cancer is much more common. And the fatter you are, the higher your risk of dying of breast cancer. I mean, it's straightforward. It also, of course, has to do with breast size. Okay. Asian women not only tend to be thinner, they tend to have smaller breasts.
Mm-hmm.
A woman with an A cup, well, I should turn that around. A woman with a C cup breast is 2.5 times more likely to get breast cancer than a woman with an A size breast.
Hmm.
No kidding.
There's just less breast tissue to get cancer.
Sure.
It's a simple mechanics.
Yeah.
You got more tissue there, you have more risk of getting cancer.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so the smaller your breast, the lower your risk. But the smaller your body, the lower your risk. And since Asian women both tend to have smaller breasts and they are the leanest people in America.
That's right. Right.
They by far have the lowest risk of many cancers, including breast cancer.
Right.
You know, that's not discrimination, at least not by people. You don't blame somebody. Blame God. He's the one that designed this system. But even he is not the one that gave you your food choices and how much you eat and how much you move. So, you know, the breast size, yep, that one you can blame the maker. But your percentage of body fat, sorry, folks, you got to take responsibility for that one.
Yeah. Yeah, Ronald Reagan said we've got to get to the point where when something happens bad in society, we have to stop blaming society and put the blame on the person who is doing something wrong.
Yes. Well, in this case, it's how much you eat and how much you move.
Yeah.
Calories in versus calories out.
Decisions have consequences.
But the thing is that even if you are overweight or obese currently, you can change that around.
Yes, you can.
And yes, you have the responsibility, but if you make the right choices in terms of who's going to help you, how are they going to help you, who's your provider, who are the people you stay connected with, they can be a tremendous source of support to you in your mission.
But you know, there are people who are going to say, oh, you're blaming the victim. I'm not blaming the victim. Okay. The reality is, if you are obese, this is a result of choices you're making and have made in the past. Now you can stop.
But I also
condition.
Agree. But I also think that to some extent it's the education. Mm-hmm. Maybe people don't know that obesity is linked to breast cancer. And so if we educate them about that, they will take responsibility to reduce their own risk.
I had a woman many years ago that, you know, we did a breast exam on her, and indeed there was a great big hard lump in one breast, and we did the biopsy, and she had a nasty cancer in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And she was very unhappy to learn that, you know, her weight had a high probability of impacting whether or not she had gotten that cancer.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't want to hear it. You know? But you tell her that not because there's anything she can do now to go back and prevent the cancer, but it also has a big impact on whether or not she's going to die from the cancer.
Mm.
Okay, you know, just getting off your tush and exercising. Women who are diagnosed with breast cancer and go and start a good, vigorous exercise program have 25% better survival than women that maintain a sedentary lifestyle.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, that's despite all the treatment. So people who once begin their exercise program, you know, it's not just weight loss. You know, Jerry, it's so many things with the fat tissue. We used to keep thinking that fatty tissue is inert and it doesn't harm anything. But we know that it's a pro-inflammatory agent, and it is the seed of a lot of chronic diseases. So no matter what age, if you want to lower the risk for chronic disease, and cancer is one of them, then you have to start moving. You have to be physically active because that can help your own life, your own quality of life.
Two very different factors. Fat is, as you said, pro-inflammatory. Fat produces more than 80 different inflammatory, atherogenic sorts of compounds. We call these cytokines.
Right.
These kinases raise the risk of cancer, heart disease, diabetes, and dementia.
Right.
On the other hand, working muscle, not just muscle for show, but working muscle produces more than 100 different anti-inflammatory, pro-healing compounds that we refer to as myokines.
Yeah.
Myos meaning muscle. So the less fat you've got and the more muscle you've got, the healthier you tend to be, the lower your risk of heart attacks, strokes, cancers, dementia. The fatter you are, the less muscle you got, the higher your risk of all those things.
Okay, let me pose the question, because we've got a lot of people listening that, let's say they're obese. What percentage? I don't know. But a lot of people that are listening right now that are obese, they're in their 50s, maybe 80s.
Yeah.
Is it ever too late for them to start doing something about the weight?
You want to start doing something today. Don't put it off. Don't say, well, I'm going to start it on the first of next month. You know, start today. And again, I am not a big advocate for crash diets. I'm not a big advocate for people, you know, they go to the magazine rack at the checkout counter at the grocery store, you know, and it says lose 30 pounds in 30 days? No. That'll be water. But yes, you have to start altering the lifestyle. You have to get your diet down a bit. It's a matter of stop the between meal snacks. Don't eat right before you go to bed. Stop eating excess carbs and sugars and soft drinks.
Or some might even say, start eating the right foods, do a little research, and eat five times a day.
But it's the amount, it's the total amount you eat during the day. Total calories in versus total calories out. And you need to start moving. The more you move, the more calories you burn. And you're working that muscle. Because that working muscle, we're not just talking about fat loss. We're talking about protection against heart disease, strokes, dementia, and cancer. Working muscle is protective.
Right. You know, we used to say that you have inherited the genes that you have inherited, and that's going to be your destiny. So people who have a high risk of diabetes or cancer in their family or coronary artery disease will get it no matter what they do. Now, but we know now that that's not accurate.
And I wanted you to make sure you can you tell the people what I just said about the genes is
not
true.
Yes, right. Because you may still have inherited that gene, but expression of that gene is up to you. So you can actually suppress that gene and still be healthy. So when they say that at age 50, you can't afford to take your life and your health by just by chance only, you can't leave it up to chance to be healthy. You can be proactive. You can change the destiny from what your parents are experiencing and what you will experience. But the responsibility lies with you. Once you have the realization, there is a lot you can do. And that's just proven. That's scientifically proven.
And here's a component that I absolutely insist we talk about. People can be motivated, but often, this is why you are often called kind of like a coach.
Right.
Our patients come in at least quarterly, right? Sometimes a little more than that.
Right.
As needed. We don't charge per appointment, if you're
at
a member.
At least every 3 months.
At least.
Sometimes every month.
Yeah.
But so many times we've heard people right on this radio show call in and make the comments that I feel for the first time I have a coach that's walking me through this process. And so with all the things that we do with the proper balancing of our endocrine system, or, the hormones and the counsel regarding diet and exercise and things like that, it makes it so much easier to accomplish your goals.
Oh, no, absolutely.
When you're accountable.
I absolutely agree with you. Because a lot of times, most of my patients are motivated. You know, they want to be healthy. That's why they're with us in the first place, right? But they may not know how to proceed. And we help them with the how to, either medically with medications, prescription medications, or nutraceuticals, or lifestyle choices. But we measure constantly, and life changes constantly. So we are looking at their blood panel, their cognitive evaluation, their genetic history, and we're helping them sort out what is more important at this particular time and how to navigate it so that they can overcome the hurdles.
Indeed. Indeed. Well, with that in mind, a free health analysis appointment is going to make a whole lot of sense for a whole lot of people right now, because maybe they're obese. And, you don't have to be obese to need, because of the things you were talking about, what happens when you work that muscle and the benefits of working the muscle. If you're a couch potato and you're generally skinny, you're still in trouble.
Oh, yes.
Because
absolutely.
You're not taking advantage of how your body is made to function well.
No, we call them skinny fat. I have skinny people that have less muscle mass and more fatty tissue.
Yes. Boy, this is such good stuff. This is why I love my job. This is good information. And there are people that are listening right now that are going to say, okay, I'm ready. You can grab one of the free health analysis appointments. Simply go to our website, lmclinic.com, lmclinic.com. Push the schedule now button. Do it. You get two free tests. You get $100 of free longevity supplements. And you can even figure out what your basic health risk. That's the whole purpose, so you know what you might need to do to solve your problems as you're getting older. If you're not happy with the aging process, more importantly, your aging process, go to ellenclinic.com. Make an appointment. And don't forget, we have 2 hours here. And we're just now ending the first hour. You don't want to go far. We'll be back for hour number two before you know it.